This is Lauren. Can I just ask right now, in relation to the topic on the assistance or directing funds from this mail drop to T and to BAI? Where are we standing with that, Lonnie, relative to the surplus over the cost of the mail drop at this time?
Yeah.
When is it slated to transfer?
Well, you know, what has to be discussed at this point with that station. For example, Take I, they're doing better on their mail, on their drive than anticipated. So their need is reduced. That's the good news. KPSC had they have a new 100,000 watt transmitter going online. They had a nation drive, $1 a watt. They're doing well with it. So the need that we had anticipated in the budget, at least at this point, not materializing as high as we had feared. So the pressure to raise that money from the mail drop is lessening, at least, you know, given just 3 months of experience. So I'm encouraged.
Okay, so we have not transferred the question. We don't have a need to transfer. Okay.
I haven't had a need to do it. They've done, you know, people are meeting their goals. That was always meant.
Could I ask a follow-up question on that?
Sure, Dave.
If
we have in our budget a transfer of a given amount of money, and because of the way things go, it doesn't happen or isn't needed, is there a budget adjustment required? How is that handled administratively?
Well, say, for example, if WBAI were to exceed goal by $100,000, say, for example, right? Or even with a mail drop that they're planning, right? That becomes mail drop that raises more money than they ever have. And that's, of course, the hope. Well, the need to transfer those funds over to WBAI would be obviated, at least reduced. And therefore, I would scale back on the mail drops at the national office and not spend that money to do another mail drop, which would, you know, presumably, say, toward the end of the year, wouldn't be necessary. That was how I was thinking about it. Now, coming back in, I don't know, June or July, I would come to the finance committee and say, you know, if WBI doesn't need the funds, they're doing just fine. So our projection that they might need those funds isn't in the amount we thought. Then I would say we could do another mail drop. And my suggestion would be, let's do another mail drop and make sure that we use the funds for revenue-producing activities. And then we have that discussion, say, right here, starting in finance. Say, if we do another mail drop, I project it might raise $100,000. Let's talk about what goals that would have for sustaining revenue as an outcome that we can invest those funds in. That's how I think it could go, you know, and be productive.
Excuse me.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Real quick, this is my last comment or question on this. But, Lonnie, when you're talking about all of this, I'm still kind of troubled because I remember you referring me to those reports that were prepared by the Radio Research Consortium or prepared for them. And the seventh report, Interim Report 7, talked about the long-term Arbitron analysis for a number of stations, including the Pacifica stations. And it said that certainly since 9/11, but actually they expected even before then, WBAI and WPFW were in steep decline in their audience. And so we should expect it. It said KPFK was in decline. It said KPFA in Berkeley was just treading water. And like you cited the success of KPFT, it said that that was the only Pacifica station in the ascendancy. And it didn't say that the public radio audience was decreasing. It said that actually stations like WBAI, WPFW, and KPFK were losing their audiences to stations that were in the ascendancy in their regions. Like in D.C., we're supposedly losing our audience to American University's radio station. And so, I mean, KPFT's success might not spell out the future for WBAI or WPFW stations. So it seems to me that while you're hoping that the mail drop is a success, and certainly we probably need to rely on that, we probably need to think in the long term about what we do about this evidence of continuing decline. Because I was looking at the information that you provided, and it didn't say that all the stations were in decline since 9/11. It basically said that it said something slightly different. It said that that's an analysis oftentimes put out, but they dispelled that. That was their analysis.
Okay. Lonnie, can you just be brief, and then we can
move
forward on
that? That was just one study. Look at the rest of the studies there. Remember I said that study, I had problems with their methodology as how they characterizing stations. But there are other studies on that same website that make it perfectly clear that revenues are flat and, for the first time in 40 years, in the public sector, declining. So it's there. There are other studies. That was only one that we talked about. And there are others that have a different view. But there's no question in public and commercial radio that radio listenership is down.
You know, I would suggest again that at our PMB meetings, that the very topic in terms of Lonnie, which you have talked to us repeatedly about, and all of us have looked at numbers, and Thomas has looked at those and taken a position on what he's seen on some of those numbers, that we definitely need to have at our PMB meetings, we need to have a PMB finance meeting. So we have the general managers, we have the committee that can be there to discuss these very issues about decline in revenue, and then look at the other major projects and goals that we have talked about, including, you know, the issues with licensing and those things that could get us, that would be projects, goals, methods that we could use in terms of perhaps lessening the negative impact of decline in listenership. So again, it's very important that we have these meetings at the PNB meeting to discuss this very subject about the future of the revenue stream for the foundation.
I agree. It's the elephant in our room.
Yeah, right. And it needs to be on the agenda, and it needs to be the discussion. The other thing, let me just go through there. Dave had talked about again, and I think we do need to put this on. Maybe we can put it on for the next meeting. We do, Lonnie, and I understand you, everything is unique, but we do need some type of policy, and Dave asked the question, we've asked this before, is that when there is a surplus, okay, what happens then? So I think that we definitely need that as to look at policy and to look at for us to have a consistent policy, a process, so we will know what will happen in most cases when there is either surplus or shortfall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we move forward now? And including, I'm sorry, when we talk about the discussion in the finance meeting, would include the discussions, like we said, on Arbitron and other means of determining the size of our audience. And can I just take one minute, if people don't mind, that KPFA just finished their the fund drive, and I have some information that Brian had actually mailed over the internet to say that KPFA, unless you want to read it, Brian, that the winter fund drive
ended. I copied
the
whole committee, Levon.
I know you did, but I would like to read this on the net on our conference call for all of our people who may be listening and maybe haven't seen this, so that they will know this.
I have updated figures.
Okay, so why don't you go ahead?
Well, we were budgeted to end our fund drive after 16 days and a few hours, which we did today. The goal was $950,000. We ended with about $958,000 when we stopped plugging on air. Since then, we've had about 3,000 more come in on the internet, and we expect, 7 to 12 more on the internet before we take down our pledge link. So that's an overtier. That's good. It's about more than $100,000 more than we raised in our fall drive in the same period of time. And today shorter than we did our winter drive last year. So we're on track, I believe, to be spending 4 days less total on-air fundraising this year, if we can keep this up.
Great. And I think you say we raised, there was nearly $70,000 in pledges online.
About $72,000 so far.
That's very good.
In the past hour, 1,000 have come in.
Okay.
The shoppers go to our website at the end of the drive because all our thank you gifts are up there, and they can check them all out on a big menu.
So we'd like to thank the listeners and people who have pledged, and the staff and the boards, the local station boards, and everyone who really helped to make this a successful drive for KPFA. Okay.
Here.
Okay. We can just continue. Thank you. So also. I was trying to on the so I see that you did send out a headcount. Thank you, Lonnie. Also, we need to send out what KPFA does in terms of headcount. But you did send out a sheet that showed us total headcount for Pacifica Foundation. I see, and this is in our motion. I think we'd asked for this to be done every we'd agreed on every quarter. Is that correct?
Yeah, I it was new for the general managers and the business managers to produce it, so I didn't get all the detail that I wanted, and then
right.
There was issues around methodology, but it's a start, and sort of jives with some of the stuff that we have in the national office. I feel confident that it's close to accurate, but I will improve by next quarter. We can come up with a little bit more detail one time, I'm sure. That the detail is in good order. At that start.
Okay. And the total, I'm looking for that. I can't find the sheet right now. So the total number was how many?
139.
139. And that was as of the end of December. Is that correct? Is that correct, Lonnie?
Yes, that's correct.
139 full-time equivalents for the Pacific Foundation.
Yes, and that, of course, is different than the number of bodies. You've got a lot of hourly people and part-time people, but FTEs, full-time equivalents, that's the number I think is as accurate as we can have it at this point.
Okay. Okay, well, I think that's very good. That's one of the first. So, again, in terms of the detail and how we would like that, this is a great start. So did you want to talk more about risk and opportunities to the and other projects that are other, well, risk and opportunities to the budget now, Lonnie?
Well,
in addition to what you've already
in my report, I think that we're speaking in terms of financial, where is Pacifica in terms of the risk and opportunities at this point, not only in our fiscal year, but in our history? I think we've said some of this stuff over and over again, but I'm excited by looking at licensing and developing a model that David has been talking about for some time. Why? Because it does put Pacifica on the way toward becoming technologically updated. It also is a wonderful way for Pacifica to do public relations and make more people aware of us. That allows us to expand Pacifica across a number of platforms. I think it also can attract financial support and revenue, and I think that's new, and we need to have as many new oars in the water because our traditional base is problematic to some extent. So I do think that's encouraging. I have proposed a regional strategy in terms of looking at other members of progressive organizations and having those folks identify us as a voice of street level and progressive radio, and they have responded and they have asked us to do more in areas. And I think that can be sources of new revenue for Pacifica, certainly new contact and connections and networking. And it's been demonstrated that there are people in this country that will support progressive radio if they become aware of it and we deliver on any promises that we make. I think that the web income that people are producing now and concentrating on it is very hopeful. Many people listen online, and now we need to follow them in terms of having an appeal process. So those are some of the opportunities I think that are there. I won't go try to list them all. Now, what are our risks? The risk, at least from where I'm sitting, is that finance, timing is everything. This network exists on a margin of about $300,000 to $800,000. That's on the budget side. That is, if we miss, for the number of stations miss by 50 or 100,000, and they do that three times a year, Well, that's five stations missing by 300,000. You can quickly see how problematic that can be given our budget contract. Now, a budget shortfall is not the same as being financially in distress. This is a half a billion dollar asset. It's worth at least a half, $500 million. So we would be, of course, in a position where we wouldn't want to have to look to borrow against those assets, but we wouldn't be bankrupt. I want to dispel that notion. What I'm talking about is a budget shortfall, not a financial crisis of huge dimension. So the risk there is that that we need, and we're working toward it, of course, solid strategy to deal with the changing market out there in terms of what services people want from us. The last thing I'll say is this, that we need to do listener service and find out what listeners want from us in this changing market. It's not going to be the be-all and the answer for all of our issues because there are fewer listeners to survey. But it is important to keep the loyal listeners that have been with us for many, many years and stay in touch with those folks and deliver to them the services that they have supported over the years. So anyway, that would be a quick summary of what I'm sort of seeing with this opportunity.
Sure.
Okay. Brian?
Dave.
I'm sorry.
With his New York accent. I was looking at the BAI numbers, and BAI is actually looking behind relative to budget, even if you don't count the 100K, by about 60K, it looks like. Is that has that been corrected by money that has come in? Is that just a timing effect?
They're planning this mail drop.
Uh-huh.
And when they do that mail drop, they'll do 125, 150. And I think the gap will close then. They're looking to do it next month. And that would help. Of course, as in all things, if they have a bad spring drive, all bets are off, and there'll be another issue to deal with. But right now, they're doing better than I frankly had expected at this point.
Okay.
Especially with a new IGM in place. But apparently that's opening up new parts.
Okay. Other questions, points? Lenny, this is LaVarne. There are a couple of things I think we had talked about briefly was on for the national office. Was there like a couple of projects, or you'd spoken something about an audit.
Are you
going to talk about that?
Well, as an information item, yes, I'd be happy to. I just wanted to let the Finance Committee know that there are, I think we're ready to just go into information items at this point. Is that okay? I can just list three or four.
Right, on the list there, right, in addition to, right, reimbursement policy, internet project, credit card policy. Yes, please.
Can we go into that as information items? I'm no motion on the floor, at least. Well, the first one I want to mention is that looking back to 2002, Pacifica had a pension plan, and it turns out that that pension plan, our pension plan, when you exceed 100 individuals, those pension plans have to be audited. We have four years where our pension plan has not been audited. Part of the problem has been that the record keeping wasn't there in terms of people left the network or left their jobs at various stations. And that information was never communicated. No record was kept. And it becomes an issue when that person shows up 2 or 3 years later and says, well, I did have a pension there. The money was being put away from me. I'd like to have that money now. I'd like a payout. And the employer, that's us, must be prepared to, in an accurate way, give over to those individuals the funds they're owed. And to do that, we need to have an audit of those 4 years, we've spent three years reconstructing the book, sending out letters to individuals, asking when they left, what pension plan they were in, finding out what monies were donated or taken out and put away for them. Now we're prepared to have those years audit. We've got it as accurate as we think we can. The auditor's saying this is the year to do it, and that audit will cost $40,000, that is, for all 4 years. So
Lonnie,
that is an unexpected expense.
Lonnie?
Yes.
Can I ask you a quick question about the pension plan?
Yes.
Is there, what's the percentage of money being, you know, put in reserve, you know, pension plan?
2% annual.
Excuse
2%
me?
Of annual salary, Bertel?
You know, in general, I mean, like, we have a whole pension plan, like, you know, we have 100 people all together. Is there a percentage that's being put on reserve, you know, so that, you know, do you have a reserve account that, you know, that has a percentage of what should be paid out?
Yeah, there are two. There are two. One is that's different for union employees as opposed to management people. Okay, they're on different sort of plans, although that's changing. We're moving a lot of the union people into the network's pension plan. But historically, the unions handle their own pension plans and for the folks that were represented by the union. Management employees were basically given 2% was placed away in the accounts for them, 2% of their annual salary. So it's that I'm referring to in these prior years, because that's really what most of this is covering.
2% is pretty low.
Yeah, and you know, it's very difficult knowing with these records who was here, who left, who stayed, was the money properly placed away for those folks. So after 3 years of working on it, we think we're ready now with the auditor's help to not only deal with those years, but have an auditor certify the results. And that's an unexpected expense. ERISA is very draconian in the penalties, and not to mention the IRS. So we want to get this done and off the table right now as part of the audit for this year. We're ready to do it. We have an outside with some outside people, and the best number we've come up with is $10,000 a year. We're going to have 4 years, $40,000.
I think $40,000 for an audit to know where we stand is extremely important. I don't want to speak for the group, but, you know, I mean, the whole idea of reserve account is if all those people were to retire right now, you know, we would probably be bankrupt. You know, in other words, we have to have some money put aside for people retiring, right? So $40,000 for an audit so that we can know how much money we have to start putting aside to come up to the level we should be at to protect ourselves is extremely important.
Yeah, we need to get this done. And, I'm trying to work out a pay down schedule with a couple of folks so that we don't have to put all the funds out right away, but it's absolutely essential that we get it done. And, you know, thinking that we could work with the audit committee and so that those folks can be aware of what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish, too. That would be information item number one. Timetable, trying to get this done in the next month or so, at least to start the process. The audit itself might take, of course, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, maybe a month. But I want to get started in the process so that we can really deal with this. Other information
point of
items.
Privilege.
Yeah.
Sure, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, as much as I love the sound of children, whoever is in the place with that, if it's not the people speaking, could you guys mute yourselves?
That's me. I'm in the car, and I'm trying to put it on mute when I'm not talking.
Okay. On this line, it's star 6. To talk.
Unless you have a cell, just do mute.
If I can, I'll just breeze through these next items. Information item number 2 is, you call it the board, there was a motion passed by the board to have ED and CFO look at setting up an RFP process, which would have as its goal to look at what the details of a process might be and to identify funds for an RFP process that would be aimed at fulfilling some of the goals that the board had discussed. And we're looking specifically, of course, at licensing. And we're looking at suggestions of expanding Pacifica's online content providers, looking at identifying potential grant money for pod-safe infrastructure at Pacifica. And I wanted to let the folks on here on Finance Committee know that we have begun discussions with Dave and Greg and looking to come up with some detail around how that RFP process might in fact go. And we're thinking that we'll have some preliminary outlines of a plan in 2 weeks. We did some of the concept work around an RFP, what are the areas that we would be trying to incentivize. And I think that in 2 weeks we'll come back to the Finance Committee with a plan, which will be in writing, for the Finance Committee to look over. That would be information item number two.
Does everybody on the call know what Lonnie means by RFP process? Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
Those finance people know that, Dave.
Okay. I just wanted to know. Not everyone does. I was just going to say it's a request for proposals, so it's a way of funding projects that we don't have right now in the network.
Go ahead.
So how it will be administered, et cetera.
Okay.
What else do I have on my list of information items? Those two are the big ones. I'm not. Is there anything else? Oh, we did offline determine how best to deal with the Bank of New York resolution. And that looks like from the board motion, from a review of the tape of December 28th, that we could go ahead pretty much as the board had requested it. And I just want to let the folks from New York know that that resolution is moving forward the next couple of days. We'll get Mary Burke her signature on it, we can move it forward. Anything else, Dave, that you have on that?
Well, we had talked about the fact that so the board passed our recommended motion that any initiatives for more new initiatives more than 10K that weren't in the budget be board approved, and there is going to be one specific proposal that we're going to be working up as a work plan, et cetera, that's not exactly in the request for proposals that we'll be bringing this to this committee to fund a person, a consultant, and specifically Rob Robinson, to do the footwork necessary to get the licensing stuff finished and moving and identify major donors. I've already made contact, with a major donor to try and get funding for this. But we'll be bringing that proposal to the Finance Committee also in a couple of weeks for its review.
I'm sorry, Dave, can you just briefly go through that again?
The board passed the motion saying that new initiatives require more than 10K outside of budget require review by the Finance Committee. There is a proposal that we're going to be bringing forward to hire a consultant, specifically Rob Robinson, to continue doing the work he's doing with the licensing and distribution and some of the Internet initiatives. And we're going to bring that proposal with the work plan, the financial impact, to the committee to review in 2 weeks as per the motion.
And this is coming out of what, the QUIT committee?
Well, the Licensing and Distribution Task Force has been doing it, but this is basically coming from the executive side. They recognize, I spoke to them about it, and I emailed the board a month or two ago about the proposal and asked if there'd be any objection. And since there wasn't any, and Rob is sort of uniquely qualified, having moved the licensing and distribution thing forward, and we need somebody to spend pretty much a vast amount of time on it right now, then we need to figure out a way to fund that.
And okay, so that's coming forward.
You bring forward.
Okay.
Brian here?
Sure, Brian.
Have you asked for bids from any other consultants on that work?
We have there's a specific project underway that Rob's been in charge of.
I'm just going to tell you, if you're going to bring it to the committee for review, I'm going to have a very hard time voting to create a job for a board member if there's been no competitive process.
This issue is simply a specific proposal to have this person do this project. And if you want to raise that point then, and when you see the work plan, we can deal with it at that point.
Okay, and I guess what I'm saying is if you want to stack whatever he's proposing, and I hope it's in writing, up against something from other organizations, it would make it easier for me to sign off on it.
Okay. Is there something, is there other initiatives?
This is Jane.
Jane, please.
No, I just wanted to concur. I felt the same way that Brian did, but I couldn't quite put it into words. I think that says it quite precisely.
Can I respond to one thing? I mean,
sure,
ultimately what we're saying is we want RED to hire a consultant to do this work. And so what we'll be looking at is the financial impact of that and that project. I mean,
what you just said is we want to hire Rob Robinson to do this work.
Yeah, he's the one that's going to be organizing the proposal and putting it together.
Okay. This is a very healthy discussion, but I think that we're kind of at an impasse, and that when you bring it forward, I think that the questions that Brian and Jane both raised are good questions. So I guess you're informed that there is some questions about the way you've actually outlined the proposal, Dave. So, are there other discussions about this, or shall we move forward? Okay, Lonnie.
Well, I'm at the end of my report, Madam Chair, and I'm just wondering. I see a number of things that we have mentioned. I'm wondering which one we want to tackle next. There's the calendar, there's the goals, there's
I think that there are just a couple of information things that we'd ask for. Was the reimbursement, day one, and reimbursement policy and credit card policy. I think that's just, a couple of them.
Yeah.
Where we are with
that. We need to touch on the items that Dave forwarded to us that the PMB had referred to us?
Yeah, we'll get there. Let's let Lonnie just go with these. To wrap these things up.
Yeah. Well, what I can wrap up is we do have a reimbursement policy that was passed by the Finance Committee. We developed reimbursement forms for the general managers. Moving beyond that to generalized reimbursement policies for the board is something we haven't tackled yet. And I'm sort of saying, well, let me get to that in the context of putting it inside the Financial Policies and Procedures Manual, and because that we do need to clarify what our reimbursement policies are for board members. We've done it for general managers, and now we have to do it for board and, to some extent, national staff. I want to do that, and I'll have a policy, but I'm not prepared to do it now. On the credit card side, the board did pass a policy on credit cards that said that patients would have access to a credit card if they so chose, with generally a maximum of $2,500 or $5,000. K has access, and we have a national credit card, and I think that A has one, although they don't use it very much. I think it's fallen into disuse. But those are the only stations that I'm aware of at this point that do have credit cards. And we use the national credit card strictly for board meetings because it's huge sums of money sometimes are involved, $50,000 to $60,000 are needed up front. And I think K has access to a credit card as well. That's it. I really don't have anything new. Now, having the credit card policy in place, again, I would say let's put that inside the Financial Policies and Procedures Manual and have all of those dealt with in the context of a document like that. That's
okay.
All I really have on those two items.
Okay. Are there questions, comments? Okay. So we should move forward.
Gary? What's the timeline for delivery of that manual?
30 days.
Right. Okay.
30 days from today?
Yeah, you know, it's been with us since July of 2003, and, you know, it's one of the strong auditor recommendations. So I'm just, you know, saying let's go ahead and get it done, put inside a draft, everybody look at it, and then we start marking it up, some of which will memorialize policies we already have. We'll have it all in one spot, and some of them are policies we've merely discussed, and then I'll be, you know, trying to propose. And I'll mark the ones that I think we already have policy on. In the end, you know, normally what you'd have is a policy manual so that the board members coming on board will know all the policies that relate to governance, and they have it at their disposal. But that may be that's a project 6, 7, 8 months down the road in terms of having agreed upon policies that relate to governance and the board itself.
But this is for financial.
Yeah, this is strictly financial at this point.
Okay, so shall we move forward? Do we want to go, Dave, if you had sent the that's part of the finance procedures manual also. So should we just move to the goals and projects? Or do we want to go through it? Actually, we had the review of status of motions. We can just briefly go over where the motions that were looked at and approved at the PNB meeting, and then the ones that we had wanted to do a little bit more work on. So shall I just list the ones that were approved and then go to the one that still has to be approved? And that was, the board approved the March meeting, or it'll be the next meeting of the PNB will be April, the weekend of April the 22nd, I believe, and it will be held in Washington, D.C. So before that meeting, there will be a meeting by the CFO that will be arranged by Lonnie Hicks to a teleconference orientation meeting sometime before that time to go over basically our goals and objectives for the coming year for the finance community, and also to to start off the budgeting process for 2008. So that was approved. And then, as we've mentioned a couple of times, we approved the motion that the PNB shall not approve any funding initiatives greater than $10,000 without prior review by the Finance Committee, and then the Bank of New York resolution, which we can lay out again for to clarify for everyone to see what our final motions that were approved by both the PNB and the Finance Committee on the Bank of New York. And basically the important thing is that we needed to have two signatures, both the CFO and the ED, on the new investment account that we have there at the Bank of New York, and that as far as any new opening or closing accounts, that would require also two signatures, and that in the PNB meeting, actually, we did pass a motion where we actually stated that on the investment account also that we would, anything over $2,000, we'd ask that the chair actually be a signatory on that type of movement of funds out of the major donor account.
Right.
Okay. And the motion that we did not, and the other motion that we had approved, on January the 10th in finance, was that that the coordinating committee review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with the general manager before the PNB actually approves. The PNB approves the process, but in addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, that the coordinating committee review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with the general counsel. So is there a discussion on those?
I wanted to raise one point on the last.
Dave.
Lonnie's pointed out that there have been times when our general managers have, pardon me, actually gone and contracted legal assistance on issues at their stations. And I was wondering, I don't know if it's this committee or not, but we had talked about the idea that now everything should go through our general counsel, and that managers should not be doing that and should not be incurring expenses for those things. Separate from notifying the national office. Again, I don't know if it's this committee or the coordinating committee that should deal with it, but I thought Lonnie might want to comment on that as well.
Just
quickly.
Was it the ED? I mean, was it the general manager? But I agree 100% at the legal settlement and proposed legal settlement.
So this was legal assistance.
Pardon me?
This is legal assistance. In other words, something happens at the station and the manager goes and, or a station goes and hires a lawyer, as some stations have.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite different.
Got us into trouble. So I do believe that there will be a committee that reviews legal situations and settlements and proposed settlements and certainly payments. And I'm perfectly happy with the coordinating committee. Although, Madam Chair, is that...
Yes.
Motion in the packet that we had?
Yes. It's on page 3.
Page 3. And you could read that PNB approves the process, that in
yes.
addition to existing provisions for contract review and approval, that the coordinating committee review all proposed legal settlements in consultation with the general counsel. Right?
Right.
Okay, so that's the one.
Yes.
I think you had mentioned general manager. Now that's clear. Okay, so I'm happy with that. Anything else we need to do with that one? Or?
All right. Can I just do a time check? It's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we can just go over, you know, what we have remaining and I think what we need to do for our next meeting. And the other major thing was to just go over the goals and projects for the next 9 months. And I think we've covered some of those, but maybe we can just go over it. And if someone suggested that at for the next meeting, we can like prioritize each person, determine what we think is the most important projects to tackle initially.
This is Jane.
Sure.
Jane. I just wanted to add to that list something that we've talked about, which is standardizing the chart of accounts and perhaps revising the report formats. That has come up periodically over the last 3 years and really haven't been any movement on it. So I think it should be there somewhere.
Right, yeah. On the chart of accounts, that's, yeah, highlighted. It's number 4A.
4A, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Chart of accounts utilized consistently across all finance areas.
Dang, I'm so aware. I have it in here.
And in addition to that, as Ross Wisdom had pointed out, that using the chart of accounts down to a department level, that's also very important.
And
I've got folks starting
so that
to
we can do. Yeah, I mean, and being able to do. Project accounting.
Yes.
It's very difficult.
Yes. So it's report formats and consistency, and that's one of the topics again that I think should be discussed at the finance committee meeting. Okay. So shall we go to goals and projects, and just go
can
to the questions?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Berto.
About chart of accounts report. Lonnie, is there any way we can keep like a dialogue? So that we can save some time, you know, instead of having those discussions at the meeting, we can have a little more information.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice to have a...
On the report on chart of accounts, what's going on, feedback.
Yeah. I'd be happy to set something up for folks that want to go into detailed discussion about it. Certainly, you know, if you agree to convene, I'll be happy to show up. This conference call? Get started on it?
You're saying do that before the April meeting? just on an ongoing basis? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I think an exploratory before, I started making big changes in the accounting system. It'd be nice to have input from folks, yeah. At least we'll know what I'm saying is possible. So I'm saying in the next week, 2 weeks, that we have an informal working group looking at the chart of account issues, and that we start talking.
Brian here.
Brian.
Can I get on the stack too, please?
I guess I'm confused because I don't know what issues we need to talk about. I mean, what we need is a chart of accounts. The board's not going to create one. A subcommittee of the board's not going to create one. We need you all to create a standardized one, and we need to see it to be able to properly evaluate the financial statements we get and exercise our oversight responsibility. I don't know that this is something that more meetings are going to solve. I just think it needs to become a priority for national staff or for business staff.
Well, I'm not sure that it's not going to be that easy because everybody has a different idea of what they want in a chart of accounts. And then there's the actual capabilities of what the Great Plains can do. And then there's the question of the time to do whatever people end up wanting done. So there is some discussion, I believe, that we need to do. For example, KPFA has a way of doing it where they have sub-accounts, and all that detail isn't published as a part of my report. It's published as a part of the business manager's report. So some basic issues about what gets reported, who does it, how often, does need to be talked about a little bit, and matched up against the capabilities of time, effort, and the machine that we're working with. So,
I get it, Lonnie, but, like, I only have the vaguest notion of what you're talking about. Nobody else probably knows about KPFA subaccounts on this call. I think that's a conversation you need to have with our business manager and come back to us with a proposal. And then we either say yes, no, or work on it some more. I mean, I don't know what you're going to get out of creating a working group of this committee.
We need to go to Baruti. I think he has a position or about this.
Period.
Please.
Can I be on the side when he's on?
Yes, and Berto.
Okay.
Who's first, LeVar?
Baruti.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was kind of going supporting a bit what you're saying. I don't think we actually really need a working group. I think management needs to come up with something. But I think what we need to discuss is to what detail we want this chart of accounts. The CFO should make suggestions. Since we've in a network that where we are very suspicious, maybe we should go into in some kind of detail and have it consistent throughout the network. I mean, these are the discussions we should be having. And after that, the CFO actually really and the business office should really come up with a chart of account with proper description of items based on the experience of the past 5 years.
Okay, sorry, Berto. Actually, Baruti was first. With Baruti, please, because this is a topic that we've been discussing for the last 2.5 years. So, Baruti.
Well, I was just going to ask that, Lonnie. You see what all the stations are doing. Maybe you could share something with us in terms of, what you think, which station has the best chart of accounts. As a starting point, because it sounds like what you're saying, each station is posting things differently to different accounts. That's always been my concern, is that what might be in, rent in one station's account might include something entirely different in another station's account, and it hinders our ability to do real comparative analysis. So it's chart of account plus what you actually plug in, so it's really the definition. But I guess as a starting point, we're talking about, maybe you could tell us what station has the best chart of accounts, and then you could send that out to us. Somehow there's going to have to be some input from the committee, at least based on my experience of discussing what's in accounts and comparing across stations. I mean, I understand what some of the committee members are saying, that it's really a management responsibility, but somehow I think that we're going to have to be involved in the process that's going to generate a chart of accounts for the whole foundation. So, I mean, we're going to have to be involved. I mean, at what point, maybe we could talk about it a little further, but there's going to have to be some input from us through a working group at some point in the process, at least based on what I've experienced in terms of us discussing what's in accounts and what's happening locally at our station compared to what I hear happening at other stations. there's really a lack of comparability across stations, so we need to get involved.
Yeah, and just basically that, you know, those of us who have worked in finance and have been there and had to go through and actually have done financial transactions going down to those accounts, it's there's a whole lot involved in it, and it basically is what Berruti and what Bertold and what Lanyo said. You know, it's not just you know, everyone understands this, Brian. Everyone understands how you have to drill down to the very like account and department in order to get those things in. And with our new great planes, I would think that, Lonnie, that we would have something that we should all be able to work with.
I'll tell you what I can do. Can I have a suggestion?
I think I heard Jane, then I heard Berto.
Right.
Terry was there.
Who?
Terry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry.
Terry and Bert.
Okay.
Was Lonnie speaking?
Yeah, I did have a suggestion.
Okay.
Well, you know, see what you think. But I do have a chart of accounts and a way of reporting out that I can pass along that I think might be possible and see what other folks think. Let's take KPFA's model. You know, I like the model. It has sub-accounts, and it also has reporting out by department. I think, you know, rather than overdo it, but I think that looking at that as what is reasonable to get done this year, I'm assuming that's what we're talking about, and have the treasurers the business managers get together to see if there's an agreement on using that model. Since we have it, it's being used, presumably the bugs have been worked out of it, it's working for one station, and we might see what adaptations other stations might have that they feel they might need. So I can send that around, and that we all can see on paper what additional detail and what another format might look like around the chart of accounts and reporting. Because that might be something to get started.
Okay.
That is exactly what I was asking, the kind of thing I was asking.
And Lonnie, that was half of what I was going to ask for is, could you do that? But will it have the descriptions in it?
Yes, it will.
Okay, perfect.
And you know what I'm talking about, right? Because it's actually the way the budgets are presented from A. They have not only the chart of accounts, but they have the sub-account budgets, too. So it's hard to talk about and describe it on call, but I can send it out to you folks that sort of have some familiarity with it to see what it looks like, and then we can take that as a starting point for discussion. It's something someone's actually using, and we don't have to reinvent that wheel. We can add to it and see if it meets our individual purposes at each station. Then, of course, we have to bring in the people who actually be doing it, like these business managers, too, at some point. But I can do that because it's already there. It's already in place. And so that might expedite things.
Very good. So there's an action in there. And when do you plan to get that done?
Well, I'll send it out in the next 2 or 3 days after I just sort of vet it a little bit, make sure that it's something that is working, if I think it's working. You know, we know what I'm referring to. It's part of our KPFA's budget. You remember that?
Absolutely. Right.
Okay. So that's what I'm talking about, Laverne. So.
Okay. Then maybe we can send out that headcount report and see how people can use that, too. Just kidding. Okay. let's move on.
Okay. I'll say by Tuesday I'll have it out to everyone.
Okay.
All right. After I take out.
I had a quick question, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we had a list there.
It's
just back. Okay.
Yeah,
and
Terry.
Berto's
and Terry. My quick question is, on the line of what Lonnie is saying, you're going to give us this chart of account on the spreadsheet, right? The account subdescription and then the account number, whatever. How hard is it for you to download all the accounts for all the stations? And then put them next to each other. You don't even have to compare them. Maybe we can do that on a spreadsheet, and we can kind of try to map them to each other to see what is consistent throughout the network and then what is outstanding and compare that to the chart of accounts you are proposing.
Well, I've begun that discussion with my, you know, Great Plains consultant and my staff. So, yes, I have thought about it. We have held a couple of meetings about it. We have another one tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So, yes, we have tried to see if it could be the Great Plains could be reprogrammed to produce what we're working with on the spreadsheet side. Yes, I'm looking into it. Don't have an answer right now, but it's on the list.
Okay, very good. I love this when things work. Okay. The time is now about 10:14 p.m. Eastern time. So we have the goals and projects. We've added to those the investment policy, the report formats, consistency across the units. And do we want to just send this out again and have everyone prioritize what we would like to work on? And then when we meet on 2 weeks from tonight, we can discuss this at that time.
Yeah. Along with officers?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have Mary Berg's address, and she has a little format for voting, so she'll send that to me, and then I'll send that out to each one of you.
LaVarne?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about it a little bit now because there's sort of a larger level of analysis. I mean, what are we really trying to accomplish? Those are some specific tasks, but I have a couple of issues. One is that I don't feel that the budget process, that the LSD's involvement in it and the LSD's involvement in it is sufficiently meaningful in the sense of LSD's really getting involved in understanding how the station is spending its money and whether that spending's in line with the goals. And
point of privilege?
Sure, Brian. Dave. Go ahead, Brian.
This is Terry.
I'm sorry, Terry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was on the stack and ignored, but my brief comment relates to what Dave just said.
I'll yield.
I only discovered by conversation with my business manager at the last finance committee that KPFK actually does departmental budgets and that our business manager has detail within the line items that the KPFK Finance Committee has never seen and would have been real useful during the budgeting process. So I'm optimistic that what we need is possible, even with Great Plains. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, I think that last year when we passed the budget calendar, where we fell down is in its actual implementation. The idea was that the timing of each of those things, some of which were supposed to start in March, was supposed to allow the LSBs to have a meaningful discussion about what kinds of priorities they wanted to see the station implement in its budget, and then get a sense through the ensuing budget process of how that was going to be reflected, and then have an opportunity to weigh in on that, and then the budgets get passed. So I think it's important that we see to it that that's going on, because very often I think people have a lot of trouble seeing into a budget line. And this goes back to the chart of accounts issue somewhat, but really telling what's going on. The other issue is one of longer-term financial planning at the stations, and specifically how we're going to deal with the dynamic that Lonnie's put before the board on more than one occasion, which is struggling for flat revenues at a time when fixed expenses, and particularly salary expenses, continue to escalate. And if you just do it year by year, what you end up with is these standstill budgets that just fund what the network already does, and they don't really look to, you know, how we can make certain sorts of big changes. Like, for example, over time, we're probably going to need to shift staffing models. There are certain jobs at stations that may not be as critical in the future, and there'll be new jobs coming in that will be critical, depending on the kind of services we want to provide. And that should somehow be reflected in this, in a longer-term budgeting process. Now, I think KPFA is sort of ahead of the curve, but I don't think in doing a lot of these things, they have a lot of, you know, you can hear it in these meetings, where the relationship with their business managers, closer people, understand a lot more. I think at the other stations, we're behind, and I'd like to see us have, as a priority, figuring out how we're doing this longer-term financial planning, and particularly around staffing models. So those are the sorts of things I'd like to see on the list that are more at the level of abstraction than concrete, you know, specific tasks.
Dave?
Okay, go ahead.
Of information? You mentioned that the salaries keep on escalating. Is that at an abnormal level or just based on inflation and so
it's
forth?
Cost of living and cost of benefits.
Uh-huh.
Cost of benefits,
and
the KPFA
the,
is going up at the rate of $90,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's health insurance.
Right.
On
and
our salary roster.
And in the model, in the structural model we've got in the stations, what's happening is that everybody's overworked. And so they're wishing that they had more staff time because maybe they don't have enough staff resources into having people doing other sorts of things that leverage other kinds of resources. So I think there's structural problems in the way that staffing is done in the station. Now, you can't just go in and say, okay, we're getting rid of this and this and this position. You have to say, this is where we're going to try to be moving in 2 to 3 years and identify the people who could effectively move, shift laterally into positions or what have you. And also, you know, we don't have a network-wide coherent decision about the overall salary levels that we're going to have and maintain. Are we paying too little for people and therefore getting three times as much work needed because they're not experienced enough? Or are we paying too much? Should we pay more people less? We're nowhere close to even sniffing those issues. Now, I recognize those are management issues, but we should be asking management to tell us what their long-term plans are in those regards. Because if we're not doing long-term planning, it's always going to be a thing of going through the budget and saying, well, how come this budget line is $200,000 different at this moment? And we'll just eat time and not to good effect if we don't tackle this. And we don't tackle it because it's hard.
Okay, so it's, a goal is, as we're talking about, basic planning and, you know, what is the best model for the stations. And
this is Jane.
Just a second. And just basic, you know, what is a planning model? And I think that consistency across stations will is not, you know, it's what's really working best for the individual station in terms of, I know Dave's talking about how KPFA in terms of the headcount is actually around programming. Like each major program has its own staff, like Flashpoints or Morning Show versus, I think, Kay, some of your producers produce across programs.
Exactly.
Within,
it's a different model altogether.
So I think that's really something we do need to, that's so the basic plan and model for the station and how it best serves the community and the staff and how it's, you know, most productive.
And if I can repeat, that's not something we should do, but what we should do is ask management to look at that, maybe at the national level have a meeting between folks at different stations, and ask that by the end of this year we get some sense from them of proposals on their long-term staffing plans so that that can be reviewed.
Yeah, and it goes down to, like, really down to, you know, headcount, which is what we have pushed from the very start, and we are getting headcount reporting out of KPFA, but in order to know these things, and you have to be able to look at the total salaries and then look at the total headcount, so we'll know exactly, you know, what we're, you know, if they're, you know, where the headcount really is. And without knowing that, it's kind of like talking in a vacuum here. Or even knowing it, it's like I think Rip Robbins had sent out a thing to the PNB saying that, you know, in terms of our responsibility on finance and we approving these budgets and they're not realistic. And then Dave, you know, you talked about, you know, what is the real role of the LSB in these budgets? And since, you know, we are new in this little democratic process and governance, you know, what our fiduciary responsibilities and how that's really played out as a governing responsibility and accountability. So all of those questions, I think, really need to be put on the table. And I think that in some instances, we've tried to tackle some of these things through our board training. But it's an ongoing process. And it's, you know, in the finance community, you know, the process has to move in order to make in order for us to be accountable and to have the information. So again,
right.
It's there. There are a number of I think basically I'm saying there are a number of of variables here that we're trying to tackle, but we're still trying to make sure that as a committee we do act responsibly and demand the accountability and so that we can make intelligent decisions. Jane?
In terms of the budget process, the complaint that we had from our board members this past year, which ties very closely into what Dave is saying, is that, you know, for us to just come head on into this budget without having some strategic planning in other words, what are we budgeting for? That's the complaint that people had about it. So we walked through it, but it was not satisfying to people.
Madam Chair?
Please.
Which one of us?
Was that Liney?
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
please.
Just a couple of quick suggestions. One is, one of the goals that we do have on paper here is asking each station and the national office to come up with an 18-month plan. And that 18-month plan could include staffing plan, cash flow planning, and goal planning. And I think, though, that a station would say, what are the overall goals that may or may not come from the PNB, because the PNB has set some goals, too. And we may need to mesh those with what the station management folks might feel is absolutely critical. But I do think the vehicle that we could use is here before us in terms of asking the management at each station to come up with an 18-month plan to commence October 1st, 2007, and we'll go beyond a year. Because I think when you're doing this for the first time, it's hard to see beyond, more than a year and a half, maybe 2 years out, and then identify the components of that 18-month plan that we'd like to see them give some thought to, along with having also worked with them around goal planning. And I think that having in this budget process, the stations, the LSPs, the PNB, identify goal, prioritize goal, is the first step. If I'm a manager, I'm going to say, well, what are the goals the PNB has in mind, and I'll see how it measures with what my folks here at the station think is critical. But that said, what about that 18-month requirement? Have that be a requirement for management?
Chair, this is Jane. I'm going to have to sign off. I have to go. Good night.
It's the time. The time is about 7:30 p.m. So, let me just ask: are there other projects that we'd like to add to this?
I'd move to adjourn.
Okay. I think that. That there are no other items to add. Let me just see. Terry, are we on in terms of what we plan to discuss in next week's meeting? Do we have a pretty firm idea of what that is?
Finance reports during audit, investment policy, working subcommittees, and items referred by the PMB.
Okay. All right. So I think we have a motion on the floor to adjourn.
So move.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, as always.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night.
All right.